This morning we're going to look into Psalm 46. Psalm 46, a psalm that is often read at various occasions, and I'd like for us to look at that this morning and then take a look at what it means for us. Psalm 46, beginning at verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let me just take another moment to pray as we look at this passage. Heavenly Father, I do pray, Lord God, that as we look into this psalm, Psalm 46, that you would open our eyes and our hearts and our minds, Lord, to the truths of your word. And Lord, may you speak to us as you see fit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this psalm, as you can see, starts with a wonderful message of hope. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. What a marvelous word for us today, and really any day, that God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help. But that same word of hope that reminds us of God's strength also hints of something else, and that's trouble. We like the refuge and strength in verse 1, but I don't think we get so excited about the concept of trouble. Nobody really likes the idea of trouble. Scriptures speak about the day of trouble, not so much if it will come, but when it will come, as though we need to expect it. One of the Psalms, Psalm 50, verse 5, speaks about that. Call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. It's not like if it comes, but it's coming. Whether you like it or not, call on me. Jesus himself said, in this world, you will have trouble, in John chapter 16, verse 33. And we know it's true, whether it's illness or persecution, financial loss, broken relationships, or maybe something else, we do know that we all experience trouble. And when it comes, it's Psalm 46 that stands as an important reminder to us in the midst of that trouble that God is our refuge and strength and an ever-present help. I don't know about you, but in my mind, I especially appreciate that term ever-present. Present. What a beautiful word. Could have just said always, but ever present. So meaningful. I looked it up actually to see what the dictionary has to say about that. And it says it's continuous and permanent. It always is. It's without end. Kind of like God himself. God is ever present. He will never cease. He will always be. And likewise, God's presence is ever present. I was reading and reminded in Deuteronomy 31:6, where God promised, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." That promise was pointed to again in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. God is an ever-present help in trouble. Friends, that's pretty amazing when you think about it, that the God who spoke everything into existence, the God who, according to Psalm 147, verse 4, determines the number of stars and calls them each by name, he will never cease to be with you as well. Never, never, never cease. What a powerful promise from God's word. The problem is, if there is one, is that we often misunderstand what God's word is saying. This doesn't mean that trouble won't come. It doesn't mean that when trouble comes that it will be removed immediately. What it means is that God will be with us through the trouble until it is overcome. Sometimes people will think that because they are followers of Christ, that they are somehow immune to trouble. Wouldn't that be nice? No disease, no tragedy, no financial loss, no breakups, no hardships. Your boss loves you all the time. Except that's not scriptural. In fact, just the opposite is true, isn't it? In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you." Don't be surprised that there is trouble. And yes, the context of 1 Peter chapter 4 is primarily referring to persecution, but the same principle applies to all kinds of trouble. Don't be surprised. Don't assume that because you love the Lord your God, that you won't face any trouble, that you won't have any illness, that you won't have any burdens, that there won't be loss in different forms. When these things happen, it doesn't mean that God has failed us in any way. And that's the danger. When we encourage people and tell people, if you love the Lord your God, everything will be great. You won't have any more problems. Well, a lot of things will be great, that's for sure. And I thoroughly encourage that, for sure. Love the Lord your God, but that doesn't mean you're not going to have trouble. And as I said, according to 1 Peter chapter 4, it very well might mean you might have more. Well, let's keep looking in Psalm 46 and see what God's word has to say about this. Verse 46, verses 2 and 3 describe some of the perils that people would face. It says, "Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging." I mean, we're talking about earthquakes and floods and all kinds of catastrophe. When the earth is falling apart, when there is chaos and turmoil, the psalmist is saying, even then, we don't need to fear. Even when all around us, things are coming apart at the seams, when even the earth seems to be coming apart at the seams, we still don't need to fear because God is with us. That's what the ever-present God is all about. He is present in the midst of all those situations and more, of course. But then starting in verse 4, the psalmist draws a new picture for us. Away from devastation and catastrophe and turmoil, and paints a picture of serenity and peace. Look at that, verse 4 and 5. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. I hope many of you already know Erin, one of the young ladies in our church. She's an artist. She painted this beautiful depiction. Would you show that for us, Pastor Kurt, of what that might look like? Ah, there it is. Isn't that a beautiful painting? A river and the city of God in the background, and just peace and serenity, and in the midst of turmoil and chaos of this world, what the psalmist is saying is that there is a place where we can go, where we would find that refuge, that place of peace, that place of rest, that place of assurance. There is this river of God. And of course, the point of a river is that it brings life. Wherever a river is, there is life. Without water, we'd have a hard time. In fact, I have another image to show. It's a satellite image of the Nile River. Would you show that to us? Look at that. You find nothing. Oops, there it went away. There it is again. You find nothing but desert and desolation for I don't know how many miles that is. But where the river is, it's green along the river, because that's where you find life. And it's as if the psalmist is saying that when you face all kinds of chaos and turmoil and you feel like you're in the desert, but God's ever-present help is still near you, life like a life-giving stream. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Kurt. Notice, however, that God's provision comes not according to our timetable, but His. Verse 5 says, God will help her at the break of day. It doesn't say God will help her immediately, this instant. Oh, that would be nice if it could work that way. But God will help her at the break of day, not quite just yet, perhaps. You see, the break of day symbolizes a new beginning, a new start of something fresh, like God's faithfulness, fresh and new every morning. God will help her at the break of day. Why wouldn't God help her this minute? Wouldn't that be nice? It sure would. But sometimes, oftentimes, there's a waiting period before help comes. I don't know why. I'm not God. He knows why. I understand that we don't like to wait. I don't like to wait. I have a lot of problem with waiting. Maybe God makes us wait for different reasons, but we don't have any idea about why, but He is still with us during those times. Maybe He has us wait to teach us patience. Nobody likes that, but that's the truth. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4 says, suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. James chapter 1 goes even further, verses 2 and 4. Like, come on, James, really? Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking in anything. Now, I realize that that's not a comforting statement, but it's the truth. Sometimes God makes us wait for whatever reason. Our part is to trust him, to lean upon him. You know the beautiful passage from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, where it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Beautiful verse. I stand by that. I live by that. I treasure that. But notice it's plans. God didn't say through Jeremiah that today I am going to prosper you and not to harm you. And today you're going to start living it up and you're going to be blessed in so many ways. God says, I have plans for you. Plans in the future, not this minute. We want things this minute. That's the way we are. But God has plans for us. It's down the road a lot of times. In fact, in reference to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, God's plans for his people came 70 years later. Not even a week or two or a year or two, but for 70 years. So when God told the people through Jeremiah, I have plans for you to prosper you, to give you hope and a future, and your life is going to change, God was talking about 70 years from now. That's a pretty sobering thought, really, when you think about it. That's our whole lifetime. Like, really? But the point is this. While we are living in a world of chaos and turmoil, God's word assures us that we can go forward without fear, even if the issues aren't resolved overnight. Psalm 46 continues, nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. In other words, there's even more turmoil, chaos, uncertainty, people being dislodged and moved around and all kinds of trouble. But despite it all, verse 7 comes around to the same point we started with. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Friends, we got to hold on to that. We can bank on that. What a great source of encouragement. The Lord Almighty, through all of that, is with us. But there's just one more thing I want to point out this morning. And you know, if it wasn't for preaching three sermons about Jacob and Esau in recent weeks, this probably would have never crossed my mind, but here it is anyway. Why is the God of Jacob mentioned? Why not the God of Abraham is our fortress? Why not the God of Moses will be with you? Why not the God of Isaac? How about Noah? Noah was a righteous man. Look at what God did through him. Why not the God of Noah? Why the God of Jacob? Jacob, of all people, Jacob. You know, Jacob was that troublemaker, right? You remember that? Yeah, some of you did not like Jacob. He was just, man. He wasn't the firstborn. He didn't have the birthright. He essentially swindled the birthright from his brother. He deceived his father. He lied to him outright and deceived him into giving him a blessing that was supposed to go to his brother. He ran away from home. He wrestled with an angel of God. I mean, this guy was trouble. And yet, Malachi chapter 1 tells us that God loved Jacob. In other words, God loved this undeserving, lying, deceiving cheater of a man. So when I hear, when I read that the God of Jacob is our fortress, I can't help but wonder if somehow Psalm 47 is telling us, maybe in a roundabout way, that if God will respond to and bless and restore and use this undeserving, lying, deceiving cheat that Jacob was, and redeem him and work through him and fulfill promises through him, how much more will God answer us when we are facing turmoil and chaos in life? If anyone knew what kind of a strong fortress God was, it was Jacob. He learned it, perhaps the hard way. And so you see, we often think that God will respond to us if we keep our nose clean. And of course, we should absolutely live our lives in a way that is pleasing to God. But the fact is, we haven't always succeeded. We've all stumbled in many ways. And the good news from Psalm 46 is that the God of Jacob, the God who is fully and completely invested in us, even though like Jacob, we could be messed up, but God still chose to deliver him, that same God sees you in whatever circumstances you are finding yourself in today. He is your refuge and your strength. He is that ever-present, always help, solid, like a mighty fortress. Friends, I want to encourage you this morning. If you are at a place in life when you are facing challenges, and maybe you're feeling like you're at the end of your rope, so to speak, I want to encourage you to continue to put your trust in God. He might not respond to you in the way that you would like or as fast as you would like, but the assurance that we have, the unquestionable assurance that we have, is that he will never leave you, that he is always present, that he will never let you go. He will always be your strength and see you through. Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Friends, that's the assurance, that's the hope that we have as servants of the Lord Most High. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do come before you this morning. And Lord, I am certain that there are many people who are hearing this message this morning who are at that place where they really need you, Lord. They really need that assurance of your presence, your strength, your hope. And Lord, I pray that even right now, as people think about their own situations and their own weariness, and sometimes their own dryness deep within them, and they're hungering, they're thirsting to be quenched, to be satisfied, to be filled, to be restored, to be given hope. Lord, I pray that today, that as we lift our eyes to you, that you would just come and respond, and Lord, that the river of life that comes through Christ would just fill us and replenish us. And Lord, for those who need that reminder of hope and strength in you, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would give them that. I pray, Father God, that as we look to you, we would be reminded that you are, in fact, our strength, our refuge, our ever, ever present help. I pray that your help and your grace would be with your people today and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.